T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I'm going to Washington to fight for working families.
The yeas are 86, the nays are 11.
The appearance of weakness invites the wolves. So I'm glad the speaker went.
I love you guys.
Yeah, Eric Greitens there. You heard Eric Schmidt there. One of the two Erics won bigly yesterday, and we were going to be covering that all morning here on the show as we get to some of these different election results. Welcome back in. Mark Cox here with you this morning, along with Carl Middleman, Sue Hi. Thomas handling traffic, of course. And we will get Victoria Babu back here in the studio. She's handling news for us this morning. Great to have her back in here, too. She's been, yes. It's been a couple of years. She splits her time between here and a better place where it's warmer down in Arizona. We'll get to more on that in a minute because they got their own election issues down in Arizona this morning. There's no doubt about it. So big shocker yesterday in the election. And I'm not talking about Eric Schmidt. I'm talking about the St. Louis County executive race. First of all, a big disappointment that Sam Page beat Jane Duker. I really expected that would be a much closer race, but it's a finger on the pulse of the Democratic Party in St. Louis County. If they got to choose between those two individuals and they chose Sam Page after what he did during the COVID lockdowns and restrictions, that tells you a whole lot about where the party's gone in St. Louis County, and maybe where St. Louis County's going. I don't know. Let's switch to the Republican side. Shamed Dogan was the presumed, if you had told me yesterday or the day before yesterday, what are the odds Shamed Dogan's going to be the Republican nominee, I would have said, well, of course he is. I've never even heard of the other person that's running. He got upset pretty bigly yesterday, to keep using the phrase from Donald Trump. It was a shocking upset from a lady named Catherine Penner, who I don't know. I've been in conservative politics in the greater St. Louis area for years, and I don't know her. She never reached out to us. I don't even know if she campaigned very much. It was a shocking upset on the Republican side. Now, the general election is a different issue in that race because a Republican hasn't won it in 30 years. So I don't know. We'll try to get Catherine on here, find out a little bit more about her, and tell you more about that race. That's going to be interesting. The big focus, of course, has been on the Schmidt-Greitens-Hartzler race. Eric Schmidt ran away with it. There's no doubt about it. This is part of what he said last night. Go to cut six, please.
Push back against socialism to secure our borders and protect our communities. And my message isn't going to change in the fall because those aren't just Republican values. They're Missouri values.
So, according to the network news this morning, a sigh of relief that Eric Schmidt has won, that they don't have to deal with Eric Greitens, who would have been much more of a disturber on the national scene, I think, than Eric will be. Trudy Bush Valentine winning on the Democratic side by a very large amount as well. And I'm not even sure that's going to be a race. I don't see that shaping up to be much of anything. The other big focus today has been on this abortion issue that was on the ballot out in Kansas. And I think there's a lot of people who don't really understand what was being voted on out there. Let's get to our guest, please.
The stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas.
Genevieve Wood, good morning and happy post-primary election day. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? It sounds like you all had quite the show last evening, but you weren't up too late.
Yeah, I was up, you know, I was up an hour and a half past my normal bedtime. I went out and covered one of the watch parties, in this case for the guy that came in third, Eric Greitens, the one that everyone seemed to be so worried about. He came in third place, and now, you know, Eric Schmidt is the presumed nominee, and the belief is when they've done that matchup, it's not even a race. So some people have suggested that nationally the Democratic Party might just give up on the Missouri race and cede it to the Republicans in this case.
Well, in some cases you hate to see that happen because it means they won't spend any money there and they'll spend it somewhere else.
Yeah,
where a race
yeah.
may be closer. But, well, hey, look, congratulations to all the winners, and the people of Missouri have spoken, and on to November.
Carl, my producer here, said that the people crying this morning are the people in our account managers in the ad department, because all of those ads ended yesterday, and we don't know how much is going to be spent on the general election this year. So we'll see what happens. Let's talk about Kansas for a minute.
Sure.
I want to play a bite for you that I grabbed this morning from Claire McCaskill, the former senator here from the state of Missouri. She's shocked that the Catholic Church apparently went out and campaigned in favor of this change in Kansas, which got defeated yesterday. These were her comments.
They're going to such an extreme. I think it is really going to help the Democrats, not only today, but also in November, in terms of holding on to power in Washington, D.C. I could be wrong, but when the Catholic Church puts $1 million, the Catholic Church put $1 million in this campaign in Kansas, in a state where there are all kinds of needs for the poor. I think that that causes a lot of head scratching.
So yeah. Can you believe the Catholic Church would be in favor of a pro-life law, change to the law? I mean, that's shocking to her.
Wow. Either she doesn't know what Catholic doctrine teaches, or she doesn't think there are very many Catholics in Kansas. I mean, it's not as though the Catholic Church is a small number of folks.
Right.
They have a lot of parishioners in the state of Kansas. So I think that's kind of crazy talk on her part. It's a disappointment that the amendment went down. And you're right. I think many people, probably especially outside of Kansas, don't know exactly what it was. But basically, it was an amendment that said the state constitution of Kansas does not provide a right to abortion. And the reason they wanted to pass that was because there had been a case a few years ago that suggested the other. It was like the Roe version of in Kansas.
Right.
At the state level, saying the state constitution of Kansas does provide a right to an abortion. And again, kind of made up the way that Roe was made up. And they were trying to overturn that. But that doesn't mean that folks there want unlimited abortion. Now, it may mean that for a while they have it, but I would imagine the pro-life movement will try again, maybe in another fashion, maybe trying to, you know, shortening the amount of time in which people can get an abortion, trying to go back and say, let's ensure that we have not taxpayer funded of abortion. But this was a setback, and it's one of the first that we've had since Roe, that where you've had a state actually pass a law with the voters actually going to the ballot. There's going to be more in November. I think California, Vermont, and another state or two are going to have such kind of amendments on their ballots in November.
Yeah, I think that you made an important distinction there, that this story is being misplayed by the national media as if it was some vote on keeping abortion legal. But the same people who are celebrating it fail to understand that this was just a court decision. These are the people
right.
so freaked out about Supreme Court decisions these days and how they're going, that all they're trying to do was change the language in Kansas to say that the legislature, so in other words, the people that you go out and democratically elect to represent you, get to decide the laws, and not a court, not an unelected judge. So ultimately, I don't think this is the result. I mean, it's obviously the result they like because they like that particular court ruling. But at the end of the day, it's not the way they want the system to work.
No, because, I mean, in Kansas right now, you can a woman can have an abortion up into 22 weeks. So there's already limits there. That's a little bit longer than some other states, but it's also not like New York and some other states that have unlimited, you know, up until the moment of birth. So Kansas already has a limit. This decision, in my reading of it, does not affect that at all. It just basically did not allow them to take the next step and say this is not a right in the Kansas Constitution. So, again, I think the battle will continue. We have a great piece on it, by the way, Mark, in today's Daily Signal. Virginia Allen, one of our reporters, was actually on the ground in Kansas covering this story. So she's talked to both sides, and I think it explains nicely what actually happened and gives both sides viewpoints.
I hope
quote Claire McCaskill, I'm sorry to say.
I hope they read up on it. Of course, the other part of what Claire is claiming there, and I go in every morning and I watch the three national newscasts to see what they're focusing on. Mostly it's nonsense. But this morning, CBS was covering this. That was their lead story, was the abortion vote, as they termed it, in Kansas. And everybody they interviewed who was in support of how the vote turned out said this is a bellwether vote, and this proves that the Roe decision is going to make a difference in the midterm elections. And I think they're completely misreading that, because the Roe decision is not going to be on the ballot in November. This was on the ballot, which made it a little bit different. But there aren't other cases like this pending for November.
Well, that's right. And I don't know how this particular vote affected the other races in Kansas. Like, did that, you know, give Democrats a bigger edge in some races, or did it give Republicans? But, you know, that's to be determined. I haven't seen the analysis of that yet. But you're right. I mean, now, having said that, so is the other side right, in the sense that they are trying to use this issue to galvanize their supporters and to get people out in November, whether it's on your state ballot or not, whether it's on the national ballot or not. They're saying it's on the ballot just by who you vote for, by which party you vote for. And they're going to work very hard to turn those folks out. So, you know, pro-lifers and conservatives need to understand that. And they need to be just as galvanized, just as motivated come November. There's a big opportunity here, but it doesn't happen until it happens. So
no.
You got to seize the opportunity. It's not just going to happen on its own. So I would encourage folks who I can't imagine any of your listeners are planning to sit home, but if they've got any friends who are, they need to go get them.
Yeah, that's a great point. One of the issues on the ballot, maybe not on the ballot, maybe it's the wrong way to put it, about the ballot this fall is going to be election integrity. And I was watching what happened in Arizona yesterday because, you know, you've got a couple of people down there who were motivated to run for a higher office because they were upset with the way the elections were handled in 2020. Kerry Lake, and I believe there's another guy running down there, who both believe votes were cast that shouldn't have been counted. And they want to repair the system to make sure that doesn't happen again. They are basically being portrayed as, you know, out of touch election deniers. So they're going to make that part of this story moving forward. Missouri is going to have one of the strongest election integrity laws in the country when it kicks in a little later this month. It wasn't in effect for yesterday's race, but it will be. There'll be no such thing as drop boxes. ID is going to be required. And for the most part, we're already voting only on paper ballots in the state of Missouri. So there's no more electronic voting machines.
Well, this is election reform, and Arizona has a lot of reforms in their legislative session.
Genevieve, we're losing your phone signal a little bit there. Let me get you to start that over again.
Okay, so can you hear me now?
Yes, yeah, that's better.
I sound like the Verizon guy.
You did.
No, but I was going to say, you know, Arizona also had in their latest state legislative session a lot of election reforms, and because of what happened in 2020, there's a number of states that it's going to be different in the next voting cycle than it was in 2020. And in almost every single case that I know of, in a good way, voter IDs, getting rid of these drop boxes, ensuring that people, you actually have poll watchers from both sides. I mean, that's one of the main reasons I would argue that Glenn Youngkin is now the governor of Virginia, was the poll watcher program that went into play there. So there's a lot of good election reforms that have happened that I think will make a difference. But voters had a right to be concerned. I mean, you know, I'm not saying it would have overturned everything in 2020, but there were some interesting things that went on there. Yeah. And some of it might have been legal. Hard to say that it was ethical, but it might have been legal because a lot of state legislators and state government officials weren't playing watch. And so, you know, the left went after that, and wherever they could find a way to get extra votes in, they did it. So that's the kind of stuff that needed to be cleaned up. And I'm glad to say that in a number of states that's happened, but the work continues to need to be done in many states around the country.
Well, I hope so. There's another great article on the Daily Signal this morning, and I hope people are paying attention to this. And it's from Fred Lucas. The title is Liberal Dark Money Groups Target Election Integrity, according to House GOP watchdogs. So they're saying, you know, I hope people are watching this. It's a blatant attack on the security and integrity and the fairness and the transparency of our elections. That was from Claudia Tenney, who's a congresswoman out of New York.
Mm-hmm.
They're spending a ton of money to undo or try to undo some of these election integrity measures.
Well, they're trying very hard to fight against them because, look, they realize that's how they win a lot of elections. Maybe not all, but with a number of elections, they just play things that brought
Genevieve, can you hear me?
I hear you fine.
Oh, sorry.
You know what's wrong with my signal?
You broke up again on me there. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I think
now it's
maybe
better.
it's the dark money is attacking my phone.
It's
line.
The Russians. The Russians are messing with your satellite with your cell phone signal this morning.
No, I just, you know, the things like vote harvesting and all those kinds
yes.
of things that, again, are legal in some states like California and others. And the left, they want those things to be legal and they will spend tons of money. The Zuck Bucks that happened out in 2020. That's the kind of thing that they were very creative in inventing, but that people need to pay attention and say, we're not going to have that because that is unduly affecting and influencing our elections in a way that doesn't represent the people of this particular state. But you got to be alert because, again, the left is after it because they realize that's their secret sauce.
Yeah, and I love that point. Listen, Genevieve, always a pleasure getting you on here this morning. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You bet. Genevieve Wood, of course, the Heritage Foundation, senior advisor, DailySignal.com. Really is a great clearinghouse for a lot of these important issues. And I hope you will check that out at some point if you're looking for a good source on these important issues, like particularly election integrity. They've got an entire segment on the Daily Signal just dedicated to election integrity, and I'm certain my friend Hans von Spakovsky has articles on there all the time as well. Important stuff there on the Kansas abortion story. I hope you're paying attention. Coming up, we've got an attorney, Wendy Patrick, who's been looking at there are people mad in the state of Georgia this morning. You're probably thinking, why do I care about that? Well, they're mad because a longtime music festival has been canceled, and the organizers are blaming it on gun laws. They had to cancel the entire festival because of a change to the gun laws in the state of Georgia. So we're going to talk about that with Wendy Patrick coming up here about 7:48. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So we've been covering election results this morning, and I said this earlier in case you're just tuning in. Who were the big winner? Who was the big winner last night? Besides, obviously, the winners. I'm not trying to be too obvious here. Eric Schmidt, his folks are big winners last night. The other big winners from a statewide perspective are the conservative caucus members in the Missouri Senate. And I probably can't stress that enough. There were a couple of what I would consider to be upsets. like in Senate 10, Travis Fitzwater upset Carter in Judge Carter, Mike Carter, in Senate 10. That shocked me. That came out of nowhere. None of the polling I saw seemed to suggest something like that. But in terms of people endorsed by the 100 pack, which was trying to send reinforcements down to Jefferson City for the conservative caucus, Nick Schroer in Senate 2, Senate District 2, won. That was big. In Senate District 22, Mary Elizabeth Coleman won by fairly handily over Shaw and Rorta.
10%.
And, of course, Ben Brown won. And that was a big one out in Senate 26 because a lot of people thought he was going to get upset by Bob Jones. You heard ads for both of them here on the radio station. But that's 1, 2, 3 people who are going to go down. And, of course, Schroer will replace Bob Onder if he's assuming he's elected in November, which is almost a given. I mean, almost a given in the general election. All of these are probably a given in the general election because they're heavily Republican areas, districts. So Nick Schroer will replace Bob Onder, which is good. Ben Brown is going to be replacing Dave Schatz, who ran for Senate and came in, I don't know what, sixth?
Behind Mark McCloskey.
Yes. You know, I haven't talked to or heard from the McCloskeys. I don't know if he's happy with the number of votes that he got. Obviously, he wanted to win. The polls all showed that was going to be a long shot, but he did come in around 5 or 6%, seems like. Was it 3%?
Less than 4.
So a little lower than the last polling showed in terms of that. He had signs all over the place.
Yes.
But I think that win by the conservative caucus, for the conservative caucus, was pretty big.
I'm sorry, Mark. 2.98.
Oh, sorry. But still a lot of votes, right?
And then Dave Schatz had 1.15.
Yeah. And you know who probably is a little disappointed this morning? Some of the union money that got sent out there, like the Carpenters pack, they supported John Wieman, who ran against Nick Schroer, $150,000. That they lost that race. Jeff Rorta lost by a bigger margin than I expected, because I knew he was endorsed by police officers. He was running as a law and order candidate, former Democrat legislator running as a Republican senator, wanted to be senator. So there were some fairly big losers, including maybe the Missouri Chamber, because they backed Bob Jones and Dan Shaw. They both lost. So good for the Republican caucus. We'll have to get Nick Schroer on here and congratulate him and talk to him a little bit about what happened last night, for sure. Did you see Tucker Carlson? I was at the Greitens event, and they were playing the Tucker Carlson show in the background, and this this caught my ear. Because I've played for you before on this show, and we've talked about the fact that the United States military is not in great shape right now. To be over there dallying around and taunting the Chinese at a time when we're having trouble filling enlistment quotas and not building enough ships or airplanes, it's not a good game plan that we have. And if you've seen some of the ads, the recruiting ads, we're recruiting ads based on diversity and gender equity and all of this garbage, while the if you look at the ones for Russia and China, it's macho man time, right? It's macho Camacho. They're showing these guys doing push-ups and shooting tanks and all this stuff. Tucker pointed out last night that the other organization we probably should worry about a little bit is the CIA. He played this new ad that they've got out to try to recruit officers for the CIA. And I caught a little bit of it last night at this Greitens event. It's shocking to me. It's shocking to the senses that we will exist in a society where the Central Intelligence Agency, who has one job, should send people out into foreign countries and collect intelligence data for the United States of America. Like spy stuff. And we're recruiting people who are probably on the edge of mental illness somewhere, right? I'll play it for you, and then you can decide if you're as shocked as I am by what I heard here. Listen.
Here's a recent recruiting ad from the CIA.
I'm a woman of color. I am a mom. I am a cisgender millennial who's been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. I am intersectional, but my existence is not a box-checking exercise. I am a walking declaration, a woman whose inflection does not rise at the end of her sentences, suggesting that a question has been asked. I used to struggle with imposter syndrome, but at 36, I refuse to internalize misguided patriarchal ideas of what a woman can or should be.
Oh, you're intersectional with a generalized anxiety disorder? Come work in a critical federal agency. So if you're running an ad like that, not only are you not serious, you are trying to degrade and hurt the ability of the United States to defend itself, to perpetuate itself, to remain the United States for our grandchildren. That's exactly what, let's stop lying about it. That's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, I thought his point was a good one. I mean, do you think they're running those kinds of ads, our adversaries, particularly China? Do you see what they did? They surrounded Taiwan with a live fire exercise just because the Speaker of the House, like her or hate her, decided to fly in there for a couple days. By the way, she successfully flew out this morning and didn't get shot down. So it was all bluster on China's part. But that's our recruiting effort these days for the Central Intelligence Agency. They're going to have to change the name if that keeps up. That's for sure. Hey, coming up, we'll talk to attorney Wendy Patrick about the why they're canceling a music festival in Georgia. You may say, why I should care about that. She's going to tell you. It's got to do with their gun laws down there. No kidding. It's completely illogical. We'll talk to Wendy when we come back. Stacey on the right at about 8:35 talking election results.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, I handled 2A Tuesday yesterday, but there's something came to my attention this morning that I wanted to talk about. Unfortunately, attorney Wendy Patrick was available this morning for us, and I wanted to get her back on the show. Wendy, how are you?
Hey, always a pleasure.
Yeah, great to have you on this morning. So what is the Midtown Music Festival? Because I've never heard of it before, but apparently it's a big deal in Georgia.
Yeah, you know, there are lots of different cities that have their favorite festivals that come. And, you know, it's one of those festivals that many people look forward to. And since 2011, it has taken place at a place called Piedmont Park in Atlanta. And these are various public spaces in Georgia where guns are allowed to be carried. However, the festival doesn't want guns, but as a temporary user of the park, does not have standing to supersede that law and enforce its own ban. So basically, they canceled the festival, which, you know, it's heartbreaking for people that look forward to these things coming around every year. I mean, wherever we live, we have these festivals that we take our families to and we enjoy. And this was one of them for the people that lived in this area in Atlanta, but not so much this year. Think about it. I mean, gun violence is, I don't want to say it's ramped up. It's always been here over the last, you know, couple of decades. But for whatever reason, this year they said we're not taking a chance.
Yeah, but it's not legal gun owners you need to worry about, right? I mean, that's the thing that shocks me about this. So Live Nation admitted to the Rolling Stone magazine that Georgia gun laws were the reason it canceled because it had it couldn't ban guns, as if a gun ban is going to stop a criminal with ill intent from carrying one anyway.
That's right. And, you know, every time this debate goes on among Republicans, Democrats, I mean, a lot of Democrats own guns, too. And,
yeah.
You know, everybody sort of recognizes that what we really should be focusing on is not so much the gun, but keeping guns out of the hands of criminals,
yeah.
Keeping guns out of the hands of those that are actually going to use them to harm others rather than have them for self-defense, hunting, whatever all the other reasons are. But, you know, the problem is, given how busy everybody is, everybody's multitasking, how do we do that? And I have to say, you know, I'm the eternal optimist. I'm a career prosecutor. It seems like we do take steps towards that collectively every year, but we can never get out in front of it because,
yeah.
As you mentioned, it's never the law-abiding citizens carrying guns according to the law. It's those that get them illegally.
I could not agree more with that. Tell you what, Wendy Patrick, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, shame on you, Live Nation. They weren't allowed to overrule state law, which said you can't, you know, we've tried to do that in Missouri, you know, where just anybody can slap up you can't carry here. And a lot of times those are exactly the places you need to be carrying if you're a legal gun owner, because the criminals don't care. This is a great example of it. Wow. So much for the music festival there in Atlanta this weekend, or actually coming up in September, it looks like. The Midtown Music Festival is no more, at least not in that location. Hey, next hour, Stacy on the right joins us, and we'll get to the bottom line with Jeff Smith on yesterday's election results on both sides.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.